You're experiencing a communication breakdown on WFMU.org.
Hello.
We never walk.
Who's there?
We never talk. We never find the time.
Oh, look who calls.
To be close again.
What are you talking about?
There it goes again.
Hey, you.
Communication breakdown.
I was wondering when you were going to call.
Communication breakdown.
But I thought you were dead.
Too much concern for money to burn.
Oh,
too many things to do.
The world is a jungle.
Now you don't need me.
Oh, listen, Joe, he knows everything.
And I don't need you. Communication breakdown.
I know how to talk to people.
Communication breakdown.
Oh, God. What did I say now?
One by one, they fade. Now the leaves of love cling to the ground.
You think you're so high and mighty, don't you?
Communication breakdown.
I wish the Lord would take me now.
Communication breakdown.
Take it easy. Is that how you talk to your mother?
Too much too soon. Too much temptation in a hurry.
I don't like that kind of talk.
It's a sad situation. Too much worry.
Now just stop it. It upsets me.
I can tell that it's over.
Yeah, I suppose it would be better if I never opened my mouth.
Communication breakdown.
Are you coming back?
Communication breakdown.
I suppose I should have just kept my mouth shut, like a mute. And then everybody would have been happy. Please, don't start with that name business.
Hello and welcome to Communication Breakdown number 10. I am Chris T. Your host and my guest for this particular Communication Breakdown is my lifelong friend, Jeff Mashey. I've known Jeff since I was 12 years old. We met in the junior high school. I tripped him as he was going down the stairs with a bunch of books. I laughed, he sprawled on the ground, and we've been friends ever since. Listen as Jeff and I hang out in his apartment, and then we head out for some dinner in New Brunswick. We also hit the Court Tavern for some drinks, and then end up on a liquor run. And, of course, there'll be other odds and ends dropped in there along the way. It's a cruise to nowhere. Communication breakdown with Jeff Mashey in New Brunswick right now.
By the way, did you see your buddy Ron Ransom was quoted all over the place in
what?
In Magazine.
About what?
The closing of CBGB's.
You're shitting me.
You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, the Nihilistics are like, you know, he'll play CBGB's in a number. He tells this great story about the first time he played CBGB's.
What?
Oh, it's in Spin. You should check it out. He's quoted extensively. He says, the first time I played there, he says, he had the audition for Hilly, and then you played, and, you know, he didn't get paid. So one day I'm sitting next to Hilly after we played, and Hilly says, you know, you guys played really well tonight, and I think you deserve something. And he pulls out a bill, and he gives it to me, and I sort of won. I assumed it was a $100 bill or something like that. Turns out it was a single.
Sounds like Hilly.
He says, I didn't know whether to be insulted by that or...
deeply touched.
So anyway, Ron's been wearing a shirt now, you know, because CBGB's is put a closing because of his homeless agency. Apparently, and the article ended with a quote from Ron Rancid saying, he's been playing gigs and it says, fuck the homeless, save CBGB's. I thought, yes, it's exactly correct. It's exactly correct.
Yeah, it's really weird because I don't know how to come down on that. I feel like Hilly...
Well, the guy from the homeless agency is being a dick. Hilly says, look, give me a figure and I'll pay it. And the guy won't even, like, negotiate a new rate with him. He wants CBGB's out of there, that guy. It's pretty clear. He would make more if he closes. He would make even. He would still continue to make $5 million a year in t-shirts, which is what he does now.
Well,
he can't make that much money. I've been to CBGB shows on the weekends. There's no one there. I don't care how many clubs he has going on. It's just not what it used to be. He makes his money on the t-shirts and the ephephra of CBGBs.
The what? The ephephra?
Yeah.
You mean the ephemera?
Yeah, the ephemera.
The ephemera. Yes, the ephemera. Here's what I think about it. I think Hilly, to some degree, probably brought this on himself. And so if he's willing to make a settlement, though, I think there's got to be some law in there somehow that addresses the situation. I don't think this organization could just throw them out, you know, so they owe $80,000 in back rent.
He's like, give me a figure and I'll pay it.
I heard it's $80,000, which you would think is not really difficult to come up with in this day and age.
For him.
You know, right.
They said he knocked.
For one phone call to David Byrne, he could have $80,000 cash in a bag that afternoon.
He acknowledges that he makes a fortune on t-shirts a year. He said it's not a secret.
But if this guy thinks he's going to be successful in discharging, you know, a club that is that beloved, not only in New York but all over the world, he's got an uphill battle. I don't think it's going to happen. But I also feel guilty because when's the last time I've been to CBGB's? It's not like I go down and actively
support the place. No, and it really is a pit, too. There's nothing comfortable about the place. I went there recently to see.
My bigger problem with it is I don't want to sit through like four or five bands to see the headliner or see the band.
Well, I went on one night when they had like an alternative country night, and it was pretty good. And
that is the first C in CBGB's country.
Yeah, well, yeah.
If maybe they should just go back to doing country, bluegrass, and blues. Well, maybe that's how they could like get people in there. They're still doing these fucking hardcore shows, these hardcore matinees with 10 bands you've never heard of.
Well, a friend of mine hates that place for one reason. She says, I don't go to see because the beer is warm. And it's really funny. Every time I've had a beer there now, I always taste it. I'm like, you know, it's so warm.
You know, I don't go there, I guess because, well, I don't go anywhere anymore. I don't really go out anymore, so that's, you know, a big part of the problem is that I don't really go out. I don't enjoy going out the way I used to when I was younger.
I still enjoy. I still like going out.
Well,
you gotta interact. I mean, look, we're only in our 40s. I mean, we'll be sitting home enough when we're in our 70s. You gotta keep going out until you can't go out anymore. That's the way I look at it.
The weekend comes, I want to get away from people. I've been around people all week long.
There's still got to be some people you want to hang out with sometime. Well, you've always had less tolerance for crowds than I have.
I'm going to come across it in Bristol.
Oh, my God. This looks like it has quite a lot of potential. What it means to grow up, a boy's introduction to the physical changes of adolescence. Written and recorded by Donald Bowlis. Counselor, lecturer, and consultant, child psychologist, and educator. And pedophile!
Look at a picture of him.
A few things you will hear may make you feel like laughing, or they may seem exciting to you because you will be reminded of some of the things you and your friends have talked about. This is the way you are expected to feel as you listen, but you should also remember that the things we will be talking about are not jokes. They are the basic personal things you need to know about the human body in order to understand how you will grow up to be a man.
He's got his hand up that boy's ass. What's he doing? My God, he's working this boy like a ventriloquist dummy. Yes, Timmy, that's your prostate. You either have to lend this to me or you have to make a tape of it. One of the two. Because I could use this for communication breakdown. I really could. So, this is like that thing about when you're bringing a gun into the first act, it has to be fired by the third act. So, you've put this record in my hand, I now have to use it! Don't try to take it away again, you prick.
But I want credit for it, though.
What's that? It's something about NAMBLA. Just fell out.
Oh there's a booklet.
There's Timmy. What it means to grow up. Is there stuff in here about pubic hair?
I don't know.
Jeff, I hope I didn't rip it. I don't think I did. You don't care. Look, it's got illustrations.
There he is again.
This is really NAMBLA-esque. It really is. How about all those Boy Scouts that electrocuted? That was pretty terrible, wasn't
Five
it?
Five guys died.
In front of their kids, though. Their kids were watching.
What a way to go.
What a way to go is right. But you would think a Boy Scout would be...
By the way, it's on Come Stay in Vinyl.
Yeah, Dad, please.
It is. It's on yellow vinyl.
It is. Yellow, very yellow. You know, but you would think if anybody knew how to put up a tent.
In Alaska, they don't have lines like that. They didn't know there were power lines.
You're not in Alaska anymore, buddy. Where was that? Baltimore that happened?
Well, apparently, did you hear the latest? He was also very upset about this. Apparently, did you hear all the Boy Scouts who were treated for heat prostration the following day?
Right, when they were waiting for George W. Because
George W. didn't show up. It was too hot.
Prick.
He made him wait.
This is what it says on the booklet. A unique recorded experience for boys who are entering the teen years. The kind of talk every boy wishes his father could have with him. The kind of talk every father would like to be able to give to his son. So the idea was, like, your old man would come home and go, "Here, listen to this!" Right? Then that would be it, you know? You gotta have a talk with the boy. The kind of talk every mother wishes her husband would give their son. Well, that's very admirable. There's goals for the preparation of the narration. So you're supposed to sit down with your kid and, like, prepare him to listen to this? This half-hour recording contains a straightforward description of the physical developments which normally occur during puberty.
We notice particularly that their breasts are filling out in a way which will make them ready, later on, to provide milk for the children they will have after they are married. The breasts become quite tender during this new growth, and many girls no longer want to play rough types of games.
This material is directed towards the pre-adolescent and young adolescent boy, but the basic physiological facts pertaining to both male and female development are presented. The narration attempts to relate every aspect of these physical developments to their underlying reproductive function. Among the subjects which are treated in this way are menstruation.
If the egg is not fertilized, the egg and the fluids will flow out of the vagina. This flow of blood-colored fluids is what is called menstruation, and it is during this menstrual period that a little extra care must be taken. During menstruation, women cannot control the flow of these fluids, and so they must wear an absorbent pad called a sanitary napkin, which soaks up the fluids and protects their clothing from stains. These sanitary napkins are sold in stores and advertised in magazines, and they are called by trade names such as Kotex, Modess, and Tampax.
Seminal emissions.
The thing that happens is that the semen accumulates inside the storage tubes until a certain point of fullness is reached. Then, usually when you are asleep, these tubes empty themselves and a few teaspoonfuls of semen flow rapidly out of your penis. As we said, this tends to happen when you are asleep, and it can often be brought about by certain kinds of dreams, or sometimes by other excitement when you are awake. Most boys call this experience a wet dream, which is probably as good a description as we could want. The scientific name is a seminal emission, and this is the term that is usually used in books and by most adults if they talk about this experience.
And the appearance of secondary sex characteristics. Seminal emissions means
a wet dream.
What is that again?
A wet dream.
What do they call that? Seminal emissions?
There is no reason at all to believe that the flow of semen from your penis has any effect on your health, your physical strength, your intelligence, or any other part of your life. No special care needs to be taken by boys in relation to this process. The only thing that really happens is that a small wet spot appears on your pajamas or bed sheet, and that is all it amounts to. Boys who do not understand what is happening sometimes build up worries, or even feel guilty or ashamed about this experience, when actually it is as natural as breathing and eating and sleeping.
What is secondary sex characteristics?
That's pubic hair. I mean, everybody knows what that is, right? That's pubic hair.
Secondary sex?
Yes. Secondary sex characteristics are like pubic hair.
It's news to me.
You didn't know that? Haven't listened to this record yet. You know what primary sex characteristics are? Those would be like the penis, the breasts. I mean, so secondary sex characteristics are those.
You know, it's narrated by Maury Amsterdam.
That bastard. You're kidding me. Maury Amsterdam, the guy from the Dick Van Dyke Show? You're kidding me. You're kidding, right?
Yes, that's a joke. Richard Deacon.
That'd be fantastic. The narration begins with an orientation of the listening boy, which lifts his attention to his future as a man. The importance of understanding how girls become women and how boys become men is woven into physiological explanations of puberty. Every normal growth experience of adolescence is clearly described in understandable terms intended to create wholesome attitudes and a sense of security in the face of what is necessarily an unsettling period of rapid change.
You have very likely discovered that your penis is made in a special way, so that at certain times it becomes stiff and longer and points upward. Boys usually call this by some sort of a private or slang name, but the correct name is an erection. Your penis becomes erect just because a greater amount of blood is being pumped into it. It is like the difference between a new toy balloon before it has any air in it and then after you give it one good puff. At this time in your life, these erections are maybe a rather puzzling or amusing reaction which you have to various kinds of excitement or thoughts or activities. This is a completely normal reaction for a boy's growing body to have. But, of course, it is rather personal, and it is something which we would usually keep pretty much to ourselves or use good judgment if we let others know about it.
And then you're supposed to prepare to listen to this thing, to provide a half-hour listening experience for boys who are entering their teens, which presents the basic facts about puberty and human reproduction to include only information which is scientifically true. It's all about science, Jeff.
All right, it's food time.
There's nothing in here about pubic hair.
Well, you know, because you... Well, that's a secondary sex, that's pubic hair, so you told me.
I guarantee you this guy's a pedophile. I guarantee you.
He's just very concerned.
He lives with his wife and three children on Balboa Island in Newport Beach on the coast of Southern California. His hobbies are do-it-yourself carpentry and High Sierra mountaineering.
Because nobody's around.
Yeah. You want to come with me, son? We'll go up to the mountains. We'll build something. Come on. Son, do you know about secondary sex characteristics? No, Mr.
Bolus. You know
Bolus.
How a tent works?
What are those?
Let me show you how a tent works.
You want to help me erect a tent? Look out for overhead power lines.
That's just... Five people died.
You know, when I heard about that, I was absolutely stunned. I was like, you mean to tell me their own children watch them, like, go, ah!
Well, according to Mike, he said, that happens, like, flames shoot out of your feet. He said,
you know what they did that was wrong? They became the quickest route to the ground. They became ground. Anytime you're dealing with electricity, you have to avoid becoming ground, because the quickest route is what that electricity will take to get to the ground. So... You know, what they're holding on to this pole. They obviously, I don't know what kind of footwear they were wearing, but they needed something with some rubber soles or something that would just... But, you know, apparently it all happened so fast.
That's how it works? What did someone tell me? 220 volts. 2200 volts.
What a way to go.
You'd like to die with some dignity.
I'll tell you what, man. I tell you...
What's the most undignified death you've heard? How about Randy? How did Randy Rhoads die? The guitarist for Ozzy.
He was fooling around in the plane. They were flying all over trying to impress Ozzy in a light plane. They were like dipping the wings of the plane, and didn't they crash or they hit power lines or what happened? Yeah, maybe it was another power line thing.
That's well, actually, you know what? Sort of reminded me of a woman in New York who was walking her dog, and then she goes on the electrified grate.
Oh, that was terrible, too.
The dog was like that. The dog was like shaking, and then she tried to help the dog, and she stepped on it, and she died.
It was a Con Edison, Con Edison manhole cover that became electrified. Due to the, like, salt, all the salt they put down to melt the snow, the salt became conductive, essentially, and it would help to conduct the electricity.
So it's the moral is to always wear rubber-soled shoes.
Well, that and fuck your dog. That's the other moral of the story.
The dog
didn't
die. Fuck
the dog.
Now, why didn't the dog die right away? The dog stepped on. That's what I don't understand.
Because when she became ground, she became the root for the electricity.
Yeah, but the dog stepped on it. Why didn't the dog die?
The dog stepped on it, but I guess the dog wasn't a very effective grounding material because
we should do that experiment right now.
Because he probably had fur and he had like the pads of his feet.
He was in pain.
He was in pain, but the electricity is not going to be effectively conducted through a dog. But then, you know, a nice girl steps on there and.
Why is it in the comics whenever that kind of thing happens, instead of dying, the person develops superpowers? Why is that? Why didn't these five Boy Scout guys like develop, you know, super electrical powers? That would have been pretty cool.
I really don't know that I'm equipped to answer that question. In all honesty, I don't read enough. I read the comics.
Yeah, he gets bitten by a deadly spider, you get superpowers.
That's radioactivity. There's always radioactivity involved, Jeff. It's not Con Edison, electricity surging through the manhole cover or whatever the hell, the electrical grate.
You lied to me by comics. It's very upsetting.
You know, let me tell you something. You know, I got steel-soled boots, and I would be dead probably very quickly.
Is there a need for you to wear steel-soled boots?
Yes.
Why? What's your need?
I walk around Manhattan every day. I have steel soles and steel toes, and it came in handy that time that horrible bitch got on the bus in her Mr. Mobility, one of those big-ass wheelchairs, and she rolled over my toe on the way to her handicap spot. She was trying to maneuver into her handicap spot, and like I was sitting in that seat that's all the way by the back door, and I'm nestled in there pretty, and I'm trying to get out of her way, basically. I had my foot right about there, and she somehow managed to run over it. And it fucking hurt, but without the steel toes in there,
why wouldn't it
hurt? I'd have five fucking crushed toes right now. What I'm saying is, without this thing, it would have hurt a hell of a lot more. She would have crushed my toes.
Isn't it very uncomfortable in the summertime?
Yes, but uncomfort is nothing compared to five crushed toes.
How often can that possibly happen?
If it happened once, that's enough. What do you mean, how often could it happen?
You don't want to roll the dice and just say, look, nothing's going to happen to my toes today.
No.
I'd rather have comfort instead of the possibility, the one in a million possibility of my toes.
Let me tell you something, my friend. You get on a New York City bus wearing what you have right now, these fucking sandals, and let that woman, that 300-pound fucking cunt in her Mr. Mobility, run over your toes. And then let's have that conversation while you're in the emergency room and the doctors are trying to figure out what to do about your crushed, useless toes.
That's true. But until then, my toes are pretty fucking comfortable.
We're not talking about until then. I'm talking about something that actually happened. It actually happened to me.
So you wear those shoes for insurance reasons. Your personal life.
I wear these shoes because they give me a sense of confidence that, A, I'm not going to step on anything that's going to puncture through the sole of my foot. And perhaps stab me in some way. That's one, like a nail or anything else that you could be walking down
the
street.
Don't you think you're being overly cautious?
I told you I walk around Manhattan every day. You go walk around Manhattan in those shoes and see how wonderful you feel. I think you would come home at the end of the day and you'd go, this is not cutting it. These sandals aren't doing it.
I would think maximum comfort would be the important thing to walk around Manhattan all day.
Well, maybe we want two different things. To you, maximum comfort is having your feet exposed to the world and to the air.
I wear kids sometimes.
And for me, maximum comfort is the peace of mind that comes with a steel sole and a steel toe. So maybe we just have two different ideas of what maximum comfort is. Maybe, for me, maximum comfort is toes won't get crushed on the way to work today.
The definition of comfort, I have comfortable feet. You're talking about I'm most comfortable
when my toes are not crushed.
You're talking about aesthetically comfortable. I'm talking about physically comfortable.
No, physical comfort is uncrushed toes. Aesthetic comfort is your feet in those sandals right now. You're way off the beam on this, my friend. Let's just agree to disagree because we live in America.
Nobody has no right to disagree.
No, that's all wrong. Everything's gone wrong in the last few years. It's all down the toilet. You know that. It's all topsy-turvy. It's all Alice down through the rabbit hole.
There's no
black is white and white is black.
What about Alice?
That's what this current administration's like. It's like it's smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors.
So is Valerie playing a she, babe?
I hear she's pretty hot. She's supposed to be like a good-looking blonde chick.
Well, the best was, you know, when this thing first broke, a lot of senators referred to Joe Wilson as a surfer boy. He's just a big surfer boy.
Joe Wilson, really? Yeah. Well, that doesn't excuse what was done.
That he was a surfer boy?
Nothing excuses what
was done. What do you think of this turd blossom thing?
I think it's funny as hell. It sounds like the jackass that's currently running the country. Sounds like something he would say.
I love the fact that he's... How do you think he's been calling the role of Turd Blossom? How long has this been going on?
Sounds like a college thing. Hey, what Turd about, Blossom, get me another Corona.
Where did that even come from? How can that
you know what a turd blossom is, right?
No, what is a turd
well,
blossom?
Well, it's, you know, when you're in Texas and you're working with cattle and whatever, if someone steps in a pile of shit, it makes like a, it just spreads out. It makes what's called a turd blossom. And so I guess the indication with Rove is that, you know, I'm sure it came, this is how it happened.
Yeah.
It came about because they were having a discussion about how you always step in shit and come out smelling like a rose.
I'm trying to figure out how that could possibly
You're trying to figure out how that came about, but I'm sure that's how it was. It's because, Jesus, Robe, you'd step in shit and you come out smelling like a rose. How do you do it, Turd Blossom?
Well, no, because you could say that he always just steps in shit.
Or maybe he physically stepped in shit.
No, I think you could say that. He's a guy that stepped in shit his whole life in a good way.
But what is it about Karl Rove? Karl Rove is known as being the, you know, dirty sort of trickster behind the scenes who is constantly, you know, acting in these surreptitious ways to plant information about people. And I guess the idea is, you know, that he's willing to get down in the shit. And he's the reason that, you know, let's face it, George W. is the president. So there's Jeff and I hanging out at his place in New Brunswick, and then we decide to climb in the car and head out for some dinner and walk around New Brunswick, at least the area that the Court Tavern is in. We also stopped in at the Court Tavern, and we'll do that all in just a moment. You're listening to Communication Breakdown number 10 on WFMU.org. Now let's head to New Brunswick once again with Jeff Manning.
Take a walk on the wild side on WFMU with Lou Reed, the rock and roll animal. Ha ha ha, FMU loves you too.
Wow, you know, notice that, of course, it doesn't just say high-rise condominium. Notice
luxury,
the word that's...
Yes, I know, your favorite word.
Yeah,
yes,
my luxury.
Doesn't say solidly built, doesn't say affordable.
No.
Doesn't say we're pretty okay.
This is how long it's been since I've come to New Brunswick, though. This thing was not here at all.
No, this is very recently, yes.
And wow, okay, that's pretty tall. That's a big building. Is that the biggest building in town right now? It's got to be.
Maybe, but they want to do more construction. This town, they want to make.
Of course, they want to turn everything into shit. That's what developers do.
Brunswick, you know, it's a shame. Leave this town alone. It's bad enough as it is.
Why should this town be left alone when all the others are getting molested? Come on.
That apartment right there, it's a very nice loft apartment right there on top. $2,400 a month. Which actually isn't bad, but when you're used to paying, you know.
Wow, that's got to be some solid building. It was the People's National Bank at one point.
That is. I actually looked at that apartment because my friend Jim was thinking about moving in. And we had a tour of the place. And it really is a cool place. It's just very expensive. And I'm not sure I want to forget that. I don't want to rent it, but you know, it is very expensive. Look at Starbucks.
Starbucks, man. I saw one every block in Seattle, literally. What a strange place for me to be on a Friday at this time. I'm usually sitting on 2nd Avenue.
You really want to sit outside? It's not quite that warm out.
It's not that bad out here, right?
You'd have to eat down here. Yeah, we could do that. You want to do that?
Why not? Let's sit outside. Come on.
You don't want to sit outside?
Why not?
All right, let's sit outside.
Do we go inside?
No,
and
no. We get...
Have you ever sat outside?
Only for lunch, I don't know.
You're really profane.
Your first time. Hi, I'm about to sit outside. You couldn't stand 2 seconds on my balcony.
It's not true at all.
So let's go back. Let's go inside of the air conditioning. Did you not say that?
In the menu, you can get them.
Thank you. You know, I think it's cooled off since then.
Half hour?
That wasn't a half an hour. It was more like 45 minutes ago. Why are you trying to pick a
nothing,
fight?
Nothing.
That's the question.
Is this okay by you? Or do you want to sit in the
chair? Sure, this is fine.
But an umbrella would have been nice.
Would it raise the price of the steak by $1? It's fine. Only two of us. It's supposed to be romantic.
You're comfortable though. You're not like too hot or too cold.
I am. I'm about as good as I'm gonna get.
Tonight's special.
pork tenderloin. What are you getting, a steak?
Yep.
Grilled sirloin. There you go. I'm cutting to the chase. I'm sorry.
What are you getting?
Grilled sirloin. That's what we came here for, isn't it? We came here for a steak.
Which one do you order? That grilled sirloin.
The one that's a special, dude.
It's not the one I'm getting, though. I'm getting the New York Strip. You want an appetizer?
Yes.
What do you want?
I don't know.
You want your own or you want to split something?
I don't know. What do
I
they
can
got?
Go either way. That's the kind of guy I am. You get those?
Yeah.
Anything else? You get two?
Stuffed mushrooms. The rest of this stuff sounds like TGIF food.
Don't get the stuffed mushrooms.
How's that sound to you? Sure, you're quite okay outdoors, huh?
I'm good, man.
This is your last chance. I won't ask you again. Do they have the same chairs inside? Because what I hate is a chair. That's because my pockets are full of stuff.
You have a whole shelf here to put stuff. Sweet, you get the pot stickers and what?
The stuffed mushrooms.
Really get the mushrooms? You don't want to get the calamari?
Get the calamari. What do I care?
Pot stickers and the calamari?
Sure.
Be a nice meal.
Are these flowers Tony Bologna?
Are they?
I guess they're real. You never sat outdoors here?
Lunch.
You have? Okay. And this is okay with you? Is it just a livelier scene inside? Is that what it is? Is it sort of like more people watching?
No, you're actually very comfortable.
Not at all. I'm actually what?
Actually, you're right. It's actually very comfortable.
The humidity could go down. I mean, of course.
What'd you do for those 2 days when it was like 100 degrees? Did you get was it rough for you? It's tough. I wasn't outside that much.
Yeah, I wasn't outside that much either.
Here's the beer menu, by the way. Beer and drink menu. They have specialty drinks here.
I bet the service isn't as snappy out here as it is inside.
Wait, can you say something?
Could be snappier.
I see one guy working the whole patio.
Yeah, but he's really good.
We don't know that. That hasn't been proven.
Look, you've made a decision. Now you have to stick with it.
No. It's not true at all.
Yes, it is true. Yeah, pick up the joint. Actually,
lots of luck.
Let's go back.
You getting a beer?
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad. My name's Chris. I'm going to take care of you this night.
Okay.
It's strange. That's my name.
Yeah, this is it. It works out well.
What can I get you this drink?
Well, you pick up your beer yet?
I'm going to have a Sierra Nevada in a glass.
And it comes in a glass, you said?
In a glass.
Awesome.
I have a Blue Moon with an orange wedge instead of the lemon wedge.
You got it.
What's a what? What are you going to
get? Blue
Moon. Blue Moon.
It's a white wheat beer.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Ready to order food?
An appetizer, sure, yeah. Let's do the appetizer thing.
You ready to order a whole meal?
I'm ready to order
a whole meal.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, we'll start. We came here to eat, so we're gonna split an order of the Asian pot stickers.
Okay.
And the calamari also.
You got it.
And then I'm gonna have the. The New York Strip, medium rare.
Baked potato fries, mashed potato or rice.
You have mashed?
Yeah.
Mashed.
And a soup or a salad. We have a chicken corn chowder and white bean escargot. You get a couple French onions for $1.95 or a house salad or a Caesar salad.
Give me the chicken corn chowder.
You got it. Confuser?
I'm going to have this, the special grilled sirloin.
Sure. How would you like to cook?
Whatever the chef thinks is best.
Okay.
That's my stock reply. Who am I to say medium or rare? I'm not
the guy who came up with
I'm not working with the piece of meat. You know, it's not me.
Of that. Now I feel so inadequate.
And I'll have the same soup.
You got it. I'll have the pot stickers and the calamari.
Thanks, man.
Not a problem. Be right back with those beers.
Don't you feel bad now? He's a nice guy. Do you feel bad now?
Don't Hector me.
Don't you feel bad?
I don't need your hectoring.
You know, my parents used to go.
It should be your name, Hector.
You know, my parents used to go to San Remo every Friday when I was a kid.
Don't shake your finger at
and
me.
And the waiter was named Hector. Oh my gosh. He was. Hector, what do you recommend?
Well, listen, this is what you should do.
His name was Hector.
You know, I didn't come up with that, whatever the chef thinks is best thing. I heard that somewhere.
Where'd you hear that?
I don't even remember anymore, to be honest. But that seems like the most sensible reply. What do I know? I'm not working with the steak. You know what I mean?
When was the last time you had a good steak?
You know, it's probably the last time I had a steak that actually stuck in my memory at all was probably with you. Didn't we go out last time? And
that was a long time ago.
When was that?
That was with Mike and Tam that time.
Right.
That's it? That's the only thing? You only have steaks with me?
You know what? I think I went out with Jim Brown and had a steak at one point.
How was Jim doing?
He's good. He's,
you guys seen him play at Otto Shrunkenhead last Saturday?
Yes, I did go to Otto Shrunkenhead.
How was it?
It was good and it was bad, like a lot of things. I mean, the good part was that at least I was able to find a seat. The guy that was DJing, I knew him really well. He's an FMU dude, so he, you know, I was making these requests and he would play them. And so I was hanging out with him, and it was nice to see Jim and Jen. What was bad about it is the back room is tiny.
It is tiny.
So once the band gets set up, there's like no fucking room. So the first time I went back there to see the band from Baltimore, Bangies, that's who it was. I went back to see them, and there was nowhere to actually stand and watch.
What time did the festivities get underway?
The first band went on, the U Bangies went on about 10:45. They played probably to 11:30.
So it was a late night scene then, I guess.
It was almost midnight when Jim's band went on, and then the last band went on around 1 a.m. They were very warmly received. The bad thing about that night was an ex-girlfriend of mine showed up. Ooh. You know, was there.
Yeah, but you're friends with her, though.
I am friends with her, but there's always a lot of emotions that come up in me when I see her that aren't...
She has some nice tattoos.
She's looking really great. Let's put it that way. She looks really...
We're gonna,
she was always a very...
Would you want to inroad that again?
What was that?
Would you want to, like, pursue that again?
Yeah, I would love to, but she's made it very plain and very clear that she has no interest in that. She actually sent a message to me via Jen, because I think the last time I ran into her was another Jim Brown event, and we had had a really nice time, and we really hit it off, you know. Thank you,
sir. Well, that's all right.
Good thing we're outdoors.
Right? I'd be in big trouble. Can I get you anything else?
Cheers. So evening al dente in New Brunswick.
Change your mind and do want another beer? Go ahead and take that.
Orange is one of my favorite flavors of all time. I love citrus. Orange, a lime. I'll never get scurvy.
Really? I never knew that about you with citrus.
So she showed up with another one of these guys that's cut from the same fucking mold. Every time I see her, she's with one of these man-child guys. They look really kind of goofy. They tend to be young. And this guy had the whole thing going on with the long chain on the wallet.
Oh, he had the rockabilly thing.
He had a whole rockabilly kind of vibe going on. He had, you know, kind of like you. He had the...
What?
He had a hat. He was wearing a hat like that.
One night I
wore
it.
He had his sleeves rolled up, kind of. He was wearing like a work shirt type of deal. You know, might go nuts for you. She might really dig you. And his name, when I think it was Jim who asked him his name, you know what he said? My name's Ugly. How you doing?
Is that what he said?
Yeah. They call me Ugly.
Could that be short for something?
The thing is, I noticed is that the two of them didn't really spend any time together. They didn't seem to really interact in any way.
You see them kiss at all? Was there any affection?
They left together. They went home together. You know, there was no affection. There was no kissing. There was no demonstrative... He didn't even put his arm around her at any point, you know, so...
Maybe he's too cool for that.
And she and I talked for a little bit. You know, the first thing I said to her, I kind of hugged her and I said, you know, you look great. You look great. And she was like, thank you, I just came from a funeral, actually. So we talked a little bit about this friend of hers that had, like, OD'd.
Oh, really?
That's terrible. Was in that chick. What's going on over there? It's an attractive woman. Is it me or is she's wearing a lot of eye makeup?
Because I know she is.
You know who she is?
No, I know she's a stripper.
Wow. She's got a bold, brassy look that I like. And you know what I like especially?
What?
The cleavage. I love cleavage.
No, you've made that clear in the past. I have Mud Honey at home by Rock West Plus. You know Jimmy McDonough, don't you? You've met him, haven't you?
Jimmy who?
Jimmy McDonough, the writer? He wrote the new Russ. He wrote the Neil Young book, Shaky. He wrote a Russ Meyer book recently.
I thought Russ Meyer finally came out with his book. Isn't that what happened?
Well, that's true too. But
the book that, like, I can remember Ken Pistori ordering that book back in 1996.
You can still buy it now. I mean, it's on his website, but it's like 9,000. You know.
What I was wondering is if he's honored the orders from 1996, because Russ Meyer, of course, died in the interim. You know.
Well, he got it. I think he got it out before he died.
Okay, the chairs and the music both suck.
You don't like James Brown?
I love James Brown, but it's played out. The song especially. You think this is the only one he ever recorded?
Well, here's the problem. Either you go to New York and you get the uber hip scene, which is like insufferably hip, or you go to New Brunswick and you have the square scene. Nothing ever falls in the middle. It just doesn't happen.
You don't need to explain.
I'm explaining.
I'm perfectly situated to look in the...
This was actually... I'm gonna backtrack. This was actually a good idea, this outdoor. I'm perfectly comfortable.
Well, yeah, I get to look at this attractive woman over there.
Just send them around the drinks. That's what they do.
Oh, and what a lovely steak it was, too. It was done to a turn, one of the finer steaks I've had in the state of New Jersey. Jeff and I pushed off from our fine meal and walked over to the Court Tavern, where we decided to work the jukebox for a little bit.
I just had a great idea.
What's a great idea?
I'll tell you when you come back over. I think it's great. Where's the next fucking song?
It takes you time. It's not like the old days.
Can't take this long, Jeff. Yes, it's a great Kink song. I wandered through my shitty living room. I stumbled through my shitty living room. I staggered. Box like this, but it has two CD players in it instead of one, so you can actually crossfade between the songs. That's my first idea.
It's a good idea.
Is, well, they don't even have to be CDs, they can be MP3s, and you could have like a visual representation of two turntables. But the cool idea is that they actually have a control surface so that you, the user of the jukebox, could scratch the songs that are playing. So you could do like a DJ, but with a jukebox, putting your money in it. And the other great idea is it has a microphone that sticks up out of it. So if you want to intro the song you're playing, you can do like a PA thing over the jukebox.
And completely annoy everybody.
Fucking A. Well, tell me people wouldn't be pumping their money into that. It'd be a little interactive, right?
I like your first
wouldn't
idea.
Wouldn't be just like sticking... What was my first idea?
Duel.
Oh, the duel, yeah, the two CD thing, yeah. What about the scratching creature? You don't like the... You don't like that idea? That you can scratch the record? Manipulate it?
Market the black nightclubs?
I don't care where you're marketing to. It's a hip-hop...
Did you ever see Eminem movie, Skate Mile?
Uh-huh.
How was it?
It was very good. Very insane.
Was it really good?
Yes, very good. Yep. It had an emotional impact.
Did it?
Yes.
Put 8 Man?
Yes. I love this song.
I had this on 45.
Who's that a picture of?
It's his father, the original owner.
At a barbershop? Yes. Oh no, it's Barber Poles.
So educated and I'm so civilized, 'cause I'm a strict vegetarian. But with the overpopulation and inflation and starvation and the crazy politicians, I don't feel safe in this world no more. I don't wanna die in a nuclear war. I wanna sail away to a distant shore and make like an ape man. I'm an ape man, I'm an ape man.
Final segment, Jeff and I are on our way from the Court Tavern to his house where we're going to watch some DVDs, but we realize we don't have any booze, so we are hunting for a liquor store somewhere in New Brunswick.
The world's coming in. I don't know.
Oh, I dropped this.
What Grandpa's doing now?
He's dead, unfortunately.
Coven.
Put those in a little compartment. He's so specific. I can't believe I got a speeding ticket yesterday, Jeff. It's been a long time, man.
We do 94.
I was trying to get the fuck home before all the parking spaces disappeared. That's what I was doing, speeding.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh.
90 and a 65, Sam. It's going to cost me a pretty penny. Well, once they get done with all the insurance and everything.
Look on the bright side. There's a possibility. What if you didn't have it? At least you have it. What if it was happened 8 years ago?
You know, it's not the ticket that pisses me off. It's like the surcharge.
Yes, I know. Yeah, well, fight it. Get it on the turning and fight it. You don't mind now.
Fight it. I was doing it. I did it.
Tell
I'm guilty. Guilty as charged.
Yeah, but you can plead down. No, seriously. You know what you can do now?
I love that all these guys.
No, I'm serious. Listen to me for a second. I don't know how many attorneys you know, but find an attorney. See if you can plead unsafe driving. You get two bites of the apple and unsafe driving. I know what I'm talking about. You'll pay a fine, like a $200 fine, but there'll be no points. But you got to talk to an attorney about it. You got to go to work with an attorney.
How much do I got to pay the attorney?
How many attorneys? You have no friends who are from you that can help you with this?
Not really.
Oh, go straight. I'm going to try this one liquor store first. You have no friends or attorneys?
I'm trying to think now. Not really.
Find an attorney friend.
Get that parking thing off my dashboard, would you?
Don't you want this as a souvenir?
Turn here.
You know, right. Sure, what again? New Brunswick is the healthcare city. That light, you're gonna make a left. We're gonna go to one of my favorite liquor stores. Notice I said one of mine. What's this about drinking in the liver? It affects the liver?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't affect. You're making this up.
We'll do a number on your liver. Fuck your liver up.
You know, Bukowski died of leukemia. He didn't die of liver problems.
Ain't that ironic? Is that a chick?
They're all chicks, man. They're all young. They're all young and unavailable. What do you want to go down with? What women are serpents? They're like serpents. Keep going straight. I'll show you what they're doing. They have forked tongues and they're serpents. You don't believe me?
No, I believe you, but they also got pussy.
Well, that's what pornography is for.
Old Queen's Tavern. I like that.
He was drinking.
Hi, come on in and drink with us.
Where are you from? When the fraternity guy died drinking there. Every newspaper said he was drinking at the Old Queen's Tavern. I told friends of mine, I said, man, I had a million phone calls from people out of state. The Old Queen's Tavern? Who would drink there?
I want a t-shirt from there.
You should knock out the E, is that what you're going to do?
No, I'll leave the E on. It's classier that way. Ye olde Queens. Aren't we heading into your old neighborhood or something?
We're not, you know, the liquor store up here. Oh, fuck, are they closed?
Rubber Balls and Liquor. That
fuck
place right
me.
There?
No. Keep going straight. That's not a liquor store. Oh. It's a deli. You don't sell deli. Not even 10 o'clock yet. Any bar is supposed to package. I just was hoping that they can get in. Tenants, I could be open at 10 o'clock. What the fuck is this?
These people don't move quickly enough. I don't like that.
Yeah, well, we know that. I don't see lights. This is concerning me, but keep going. Oh, they're open. I can see the light.
Where is this train?
You'll see.
Where that neon is?
Yeah. They better be open. They're open. Yes. Make it right here. This is a good liquor store. Peters, this guy's a nice guy. He's a good guy, nice guy. The same. Well, don't park here. It's not really a park. Fucking
for you. Well, you're just running in to get liquor, aren't you? What are you doing? You're just going in to get beer, ain't
right,
you?
What do we
get? Get whatever you. I don't know.
Two six packs? One six pack? Three six packs?
Whatever you think is good. You need money?
Yeah, give me some money.
I can't get into my pocket right now. I'll give it to you later.
All right, give it to me later. I don't care.
All right.
No, seriously, though. You want 3 6-packs?
Are you nuts?
2 6-packs?
Yeah, that's plenty of.
Right, we've drank a lot already, haven't we? I'll be back.
Not nearly enough, obviously. Here we are in New Brunswick, New Jersey. You're listening to Communication Breakdown on WFMU.org. This is Chris T. Legally parked somewhere in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Waiting for Jeff to come back out of the liquor store. He's going to buy some beer. We just came from the Court Tavern, where I had a beer and a gin and tonic.
Good times. Good times. Hanging out with Jeff in New Brunswick, New Jersey. That's Communication Breakdown number 10. Number 11 should be here in 2 weeks' time. And that one will feature a couple of other friends of mine, namely Jim and Bill, who have been on this show before. And as always, other assorted hijinks. This has been another Chris T. Communication Breakdown on WFMU.org. As always, if you'd like to email me, ct@WFMU.org. Make sure to check out our website, WFMU.org. And can I say it one more time? WFMU.org, where you will find links to my blog, the Communication Breakdown blog. Until then, so long.
This whole country just like my flock of sheep. Rednecks, crackers, hillbillies, housefrows, shut-ins, pea-pickers. They're mine. I own them. They think like I do.
You know what the public's like. A cage full of guinea pigs.
Good night, you stupid idiot. Good night, you miserable slob.
There are a lot of trained seals. I toss them a dead fish and they'll flap their flippers.
Yeah.
WFMU.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Well, you can just tell him from me that I'll never listen to his filthy program again.
We wanted to show you this, a reaction machine. You just push these little levers here. It can laugh. Giggle.
Mechanical laughter, mechanical applause. What are we coming to?
We're coming to a bigger model. That's what we're coming to.
And now, a message of importance.
Hi, this is Barry White. Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th, for the first fucking thing. I'm cutting a fucking spot, Tony. Jesus. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invite you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, one more time. Saturday and Sunday. Shit. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. As the shit. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Waco, Texas, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. This gala weekend will include the welcoming of celebrities, reception on Friday, the first, second, and third rounds of tennis tournament. First, second, and third rounds. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Waco, Texas. Welcoming celebrities, some reception on Friday. Let's take it after the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Okay? Do it over. Fuck it. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend in Waco, Texas on Friday. This asshole fucked these words up, man. I mean, he's got words that he don't even need. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend in Waco, Texas. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. This gala weekend will include the welcoming celebrity reception on Friday, the first, second, and third rounds of the tennis tournament, the Barry White concert with the Love Unlimited Orchestra, of course, and the post-concert reception on Saturday, and a championship semi-finals. Fuck this shit, man. I'm going to cut this shit off. All right, fuck this. I'm going to take it up to Concert Love Unlimited Orchestra. That's where I'm going to stop at. So get your tickets now. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College in court cordially invites your ass to come on down. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend on Friday, Saturday, just a bit. Oh, boy.
Network.
Chris T. will be back in 2 weeks with another Communication Breakdown.
That ought to hold the little bastards.